Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. And it's going to be tremendous because we are loaded. I've got so much content. I've got two shows worth of content to jam into one show so everybody wins. What's cracking? Program today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The show sets up like this. Coming up in hour number one, open phones to start the show. At 40 past the hour, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, joins us. Maybe you've seen that the two sides are close to a new CBA. We might be looking at a 17th regular season game, a new playoff format, and more. Charles Robinson joins me later on this hour. Coming up at the top of the hour, so we'll go back to back with the interviews, Kelly Bryant, an NFL draft prospect. He played quarterback, of course, at Missouri. We will have that at the top of hour number two. In the third hour, we talk some more hockey. Roman Josi, a defenseman for the Nashville Predators, joins us. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll-free. You can hit me up on Twitter, too. In fact, I would encourage that very much. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Lots to get to. Starting with some NFL news. Now, when the news broke yesterday that Browns offensive tackle Greg Robinson and a former NFL receiver, Quan Bray, were being arrested with what TMZ referred to, quote, as a lot, in all caps. TMZ had it, a lot, in all caps, of pot in their vehicle. I've got to be honest, I was really intrigued and really interested, but I've been down this road before. I knew better than to get my hopes up. I know. I've done this a long, long time. Even when you hear about somebody facing a federal charge of possession with intent to distribute, it can still be deceiving. It may not be what you think it is. Because sometimes the headlines make it sound like it's something really big, when really it's just slightly more that can be justified for personal use. And then honestly, it's a major letdown. Again, I've been down that road before. I know better. So, because I'm experienced, I never rush in. I always manage my expectations. And I remind myself constantly to be patient and to just wait for the official announcement from the authorities. And then late yesterday, it became official. And I quote, in El Paso today, federal authorities file a criminal complaint against 27-year-old Gregory Keith Robinson and 26-year-old Jaquan Bray for conspiring to possess with intent to distribute marijuana, end quote. All right, so now that's a start. But as always, it's coming down to the details. According to a press release, quote, on Monday evening, the defendants approached the Sierra Blanca checkpoint station where a U.S. Border Patrol canine united alert on their vehicle. Agents asked the driver to park the vehicle in the secondary inspection area for further investigation. A subsequent inspection of the vehicle by agents revealed the presence of approximately 157 pounds of marijuana inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area, end quote. 157 pounds. 157 pounds of cron. 157. That is the weight of an adult male. Greg Robinson was rolling around with Manny Pacquiao's body weight in weed in the back of his SUV. Manny Pacquiao's body weight and then some. 157 pounds is a lightweight UFC fighter before a weight cut. That weed would have to get into a sauna and drop 2 pounds before it would be allowed to get in the cage with Habib. And this guy is just driving around with all of that in the back of his car. 157 pounds is more than I weigh right now. I would have to hit a few In-N-Out chocolate shakes to ding the scale with what that guy had in the back of his truck. 157. But before you next start saying that he's the next Pablo Escobar, depending on the quality of the product, he was driving around with anywhere between 300 grand and 750 gur in street value pot. Now that seems like a lot of money, right? until you remember that Greg Robinson's salary with the Browns last season was $5.5 million before roster bonuses. In other words, this guy's driving around with roughly a game check of Kron. And for that, he is now facing the possibility of 20 years in prison. They got a word for something like that. Dumbass.
Damn. Dumbass.
As always, I hope that was worth it. Although I know it's not. This guy's looking at possibly doing 20 in the joint when he was an active NFLer like 20 minutes ago. He's an even worse drug dealer than he was an offensive tackle. And he was a terrible offensive tackle. Because the details of this are amazing. Check it out. According to the affidavit, in support of the complaint, they weren't just found with duffel bags full of vacuum-sealed plastic bags of marijuana. They were also found with the following. 23 glass mason jars, a, quote, very large and very heavy automatic 420 single-ended electric can sealer, an electric scale, and approximately $3,100 in cash. Yeah, pretty hard to get away with the personal consumption defense when you've got an adult body's weight of the lettuce vacuum sealed in duffel bags, and even tougher when you've got a scale, 23 mason jars, and a jar sealer with you as well. I mean, hell, it's like a mobile office, practically a mobile meth lab, except it was pot and not meth. I mean, it's not quite Nate Newton getting pulled over with 213 pounds of weed, getting charged, getting released on bond, and then getting pulled over 6 weeks later with 175 pounds of weed. But man, it's pretty close. You aren't knocking on Nate Newton's door, but you're in Nate Newton's neighborhood. He sees you and he respects you, Greg Robinson. And it gets even more absurd because Robinson and Bray were not the only two people in that vehicle. There was a third. Let me go back to the press release for this key detail. Quote, the complaint affidavit further states that Robinson rented the vehicle in Los Angeles on Sunday and had arranged for a third individual in the vehicle, an Uber driver that he had met in 2018, to drive him and Bray to Louisiana. End quote. Man, this is so good. I hope it never ends. The third individual was an Uber driver that Robinson met in 2018. He's referred to in the affidavit as Passenger 2. And this individual, who has not been charged, said that he or she met Robinson in Louisiana in 2018. Robinson paid he or she to do some extra driving and run some errands. So for this trip, Robinson told Passenger 2 that he and a friend would be going from L.A. back to Louisiana. And then Robinson would pay for Passenger 2 to drive them, as well as cover hotel and flight for Passenger 2. Yeah, I don't know. I don't do it. But if you were an Uber driver, how hyped would you be on a ride from L.A. to Louisiana? Good work if you can get it. Allegedly. So Robinson picks up Passenger 2 at a Motel 6 near LAX at 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday. When Passenger 2 tried to put his or her bag in the back of the car, Bray grabbed it and put it behind the passenger seat instead. Just so we are clear, they're driving 157 pounds of the hippie lettuce from Cali to Louisiana with an Uber driver. Yo, Greg, the hell were you doing?
What were you doing?
Just taking all that pot in California and moving it to Louisiana? And how the hell did you get to the Sierra Blanca checkpoint if you're going from California to Louisiana? Like, I know it's tempting to just get on the 10, head east, put it on cruise control. However, if you're driving with Conor McGregor's weight in weed in the back, I don't know, maybe go a little farther north. And I don't know, maybe you try to avoid all the checkpoints and the drug-sniffing canines. Yeah, funny we bring that up. Because Passenger 2 claims that at one point when they were driving, Passenger 2 was a little over the speed limit. A police car turns on its lights. Robinson and Bray started getting, quote, very nervous. But the police car pulled over a different vehicle. Then Robinson asked Passenger 2 to look for the U.S. Border Patrol checkpoints that were on the Maps app. Passenger 2 is getting a little bit nervous now. Passenger 2 says, as they approached El Paso, Robinson said the passenger 2 was looking tired, and then Robinson told Bray to drive. I know, this is long. Follow along. At that point, Robinson starts to coach passenger 2 on what to say if they are pulled over, and to tell the authorities that he or she was a U.S. citizen. Passenger 2 said he or she was not a citizen, but had a residency card. And then, quote, passenger 2 stated that as they approached the U.S. Border Patrol checkpoint, both Bray and Robinson got very nervous. I don't know why. Why were those dudes nervous? Because they had a body's worth of pot in the back and there were drug-sniffing dogs? Would that make you nervous? And here's where it gets good. Passenger 2 stated that Robinson told him or her, "Will you take it? I will pay you." Passenger 2 stated he or she said, "What do you mean?" To which Robinson said, "There's a lot of marijuana. Can you take it?" End quote. Freaking awesome. I mean, just outstanding. Attaboy, G. You're the man. You're driving with 157 pounds of weed. You're getting busted. And then you turn to your Uber driver and say, "Hey, yo, can you take it?" Yo, buddy. You aren't asking somebody to hold a bag for you. You're asking for somebody to hold duffel bags for you. 157 pounds in duffel bags. You don't ask an Uber driver to do that, or a Lyft driver for that matter. Yo, man. Hey, what's up? Can you do me a solid? Hey, say the 157 pounds of weed are yours. Pick me up, home slice. Say it's yours. Do the 20-year stretch for me, and I swear, man, I will give you a 5-star review, a 5-star rating. Oh, I'll tip you out. I got you, my man. Just say it's your dope. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Greg Robinson is an even worse drug dealer than he was an offensive tackle, and he was one of the worst offensive tackles. This guy was bad at football, but even worse at drugs. Now he's a draft bust and a drug bust. Hey-oh! And right about now, Rob Manfred is the happiest man in America, because for at least one moment, the spotlight is off of him and it's on Greg Robinson. Damn, Greg Robinson makes Commissioner of Baseball look like he's got his bleep together. Michael Orr had the blind side. Greg has got the blunt side. Second pick in the 2014 draft. As bad as Blake Bortles, who is the third pick, has been, I don't think we have to worry about Blake Bortles getting a Lyft driver to caravan a ton of meth to San Diego. You got to be kidding me. 157 pounds of Kron. I don't know. Maybe you look for the checkpoints next time and the drug-sniffing dogs, and you don't ask the Uber driver to fall on your sword for you. This dude's amazing. 1-800-636-8686. The only guy happier than Manfred has got to be Baker Mayfield. Sure, he won't admit it. Never would. But Robinson's stint in prison would have to be more enjoyable than having that guy as your left tackle in the NFL. My man took a beating. Robinson just did Baker the biggest solid ever. Yeah, no, they weren't going to bring him back anyway. But now the Browns really do have to use that 10th pick in the draft to get a left tackle. Baker, my man, you're in luck. The front end of the draft is loaded with tackles, left tackles. Just don't have Greg set up the Uber driver for whomever arrives at Hopkins International for training camp. In addition to all of that, and I had to start with that, right? There is NFL playoff expansion on the table. Not a very good idea. A 17th regular season game is a possibility. Notice how the owners have got an amazing threshold for their pain. Wilder and Fury, they're going to run that back over the weekend. They had a presser yesterday. A little cheesy, but I'll get into it. I've got a podcast which dropped yesterday with Trevor Moad, which I may talk about today. I want to talk more about cheating, but not in baseball, this time in golf. And more. 1-800-AND-AND-AND. A really off-topic, off-color story involving soccer. Soccer goes soccer yet again. Yes, I've opened my mind to it. Yes, I have friends in the sport. Yes, I've talked about it legitimately. No, we're not going back to the 90s with some old school take. However, soccer went soccer again and bit itself in the junk. All of that's coming up. Don't go anywhere. Quick timeout. So what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. We want beef. So where is the beef? The beef is in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. It's not shriveled up. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way it's tender and tasty. It's not tough. What makes it so good? The family behind it. A 50-year-old family business known for their amazing commitment to quality. They're relentless like that. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, so you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors. It's quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. Look for it in a clear view bag. They do that so you can see the quality you're buying. Look for Old Trapper in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick reminder, this weekend it is two full days of college basketball on CBS. You've got a Saturday triple header beginning at noon Eastern with Tennessee at number 11 Auburn. Sunday afternoon, a doubleheader including a Big East matchup between St. John's and number 9 Seton Hall. That's followed by number 9 Maryland going up against Ohio State. The march to the tournament is on CBS. All right, so Adam Schefter reported yesterday that the NFL is looking to expand the regular season and the playoffs. Quote, under the current CBA proposal that NFL owners are pushing for, the playoff field would be expanded to 7 teams from each conference, while the regular season would be increased to 17 games per team and the preseason shortened to 3 games per team, sources said. So what that means is, if the CBA is approved, the 17-game season would start in 2021 at the earliest. But the new playoff format would go into effect in 2020 if the CBA is approved in time, and it looks like it might be. So under the new playoff format, 7 teams from each conference would make the postseason, but only one team, the number one seed, would get a bye in the first round. Everybody else would have to win 4 games to win the Super Bowl. And of course, the question is, why? And the answer is the same as it always is, because they can. It's the reason anybody does anything, because they can. Well, that and the money. That and the money, because of course, money is what's driving this. Owners have been jonesing for that 17th game for a long time. Of course, it means more money for them. And it's not the owners' bodies that are getting jacked up in that 17th game. Like, I'm guessing if Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones were out there taking the spike before a game, playing with broken digits and getting lit up by 250-pound trucks moving at 4-3 speed, they might feel a little bit differently about that 17th game. And don't tell me that swapping out an exhibition game for a regular season game means the players are still playing the same number of games, because that's an idiotic argument. One is an exhibition game. The other is an actual NFL game with starters playing, stakes on the line, and guys getting banged up and injured. And then they want to expand the playoffs for the same reason they want the extra regular season game. More money. Because apparently they're not making enough money as it is. Like, the NFL's proposal isn't nearly as moronic as baseball's idea for a selection show where teams get to pick who they want to play. But that's only because that was the worst idea ever. But just because this idea is not as bad as what MLB cooked up, and just because people will definitely watch more playoff games, doesn't mean it's a good idea. I mean, was there anybody anywhere saying that the current playoff format was broken? No. I've never heard anybody say that it wasn't perfect the way it is. You have two divisional champions who get byes. That rewards them for 16 games of excellence. And then you've got two divisional champs who host the wild card game. The only time you hear anybody complain about the current format is when a wild card team has to go on the road to play a divisional champ with a worse record, like the Seahawks had to do this year. That's the only complaint you ever get. You never hear anybody saying, damn, I wish the seventh place team had gotten in this year. Man, it would be great to see more football from a team that could barely get above 500. And that's for a reason. I mean, yes, this year the extra team would have meant historic matchups like the Steelers going to Kansas City and the Rams playing at the Packers in the first weekend. But think about that for a minute. The Rams were 9-7. They lost two of their last three games. Did they look like a playoff team? The Steelers lost their last three games. They were 8-8. They didn't even have a winning record. Did they look like a playoff team? Was anybody saying, man, I really need to see Duck Hodges in a playoff game? You know, Duck Hodges, who threw for 95 yards in the season finale against the Ravens. Did anybody need to see another game of that? I mean, sure, there might have been some years where a 10-win team doesn't get in, but those are the breaks. If 10 wins doesn't get you in, you should have won 11 or 12. That's how it is. At least, that's how it should be. So under the new model, Kansas City would not have had a bye. You'd be punishing them and rewarding the Steelers for being 500. The proposed new model would put an incredible premium on being the number one seed, but it punishes the number two seed and it rewards the number seven seed. That doesn't make any sense. You finish 500 and you still get into the playoffs. You want to talk about a participation trophy? Under the new model, if you get that number one seed, you have such an enormous advantage over everybody else because you're the only team that gets to rest in January. The others have got to slog it out for another quarter of a season. This isn't just fixing something that's not broken. It's breaking something that's really good and doing so in the name of only making more money that you will never get to anyway. Of course, it'll make more money. And of course, everybody will watch it. But people watch Thursday Night Football, and nobody thinks that's good because it's not. It's generally terrible. It waters down the drink. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. But that has never stopped the NFL before. So like in this case, more is not better. More is just more lucrative. There's a difference. It ain't broke. Leave it alone. I mean, I'm howling at the moon. They're going to do it. I'm just here to tell you, it ain't broke. Leave it alone. More is not better. Sure, you'll watch it. Just like you watch Thursday Night Football. But is there ever a Friday where you don't come in here and tell me how bad that game was the night before? Find something else to get down on, big head. Like, for instance, the fight this weekend. Wilder Fury, the rematch. How do you think it goes this time? You know, the thing about Fury is this. Not only did he get up from that knockdown that would have put anybody else to sleep in the 12th round of the first fight, apparently he got up from drinking 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day. We'll have that story later on. Rome Slice, happy National Love Your Pet Day. Hey, Catboy! Hey, Catboy! Catboy! I got some fancy fees for you, Catboy! Regards, Rome following Cody the Ragdoll Cat around the house this morning.
Hey, Fatboy, I got some donuts for you!
Signed Geoff and Lincoln. Unwar Hawk bringing his cat to work. You know what? I don't engage with the cats before I go to work. They're not out yet. They're napping it out. They want to get out. They have their own room. They have their own room where they nap it out at night. And they're not let out of that room to do what they do until later on in the morning. Because when I leave, if I let them out, they'll wake up everybody else in the house. So no, I do not follow Cody the Ragdoll Cat around the house before I go to work. Wish I could, man. In fact, I wish that cat even knew who I was. I'm all about that cat, man. He's cool. He's cool and he knows it. It's like the worst kind of cat. Like, he knows he's the bleep. Anyway, what else we got here? Rome, just for the record, Joe Mauer struck out once in his entire high school career. Signed Mike in St. Paul. Mike, that can't be true. Keith Arnold told us, if not once, then 1,000 times, he struck Mauer out 3 times in 1 game. We covered that yesterday. When we come back, Charles Robinson joins us. Kelly Bryan, top of the hour. Roman Yossi coming up in hour number 3. Hey, I gave you the number yesterday. Let me give it to you again right now. Make it a part of your repertoire. This is my telephone number. My personal telephone number. Put it in your phone right now. Call me anytime you want. If for whatever reason I don't pick up, just leave me a voicemail. But know this. If it's a really good or a really bad voicemail, we will use it on our podcast. Here is the number, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447, and here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Clones. We're not talking about Yasmine Bleeth. I've seen the pictures. I don't care. I'm not here for it. They don't pay me to do that. They pay me to do this. We're talking football. I'm joined right now by a friend of the program, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, brother, what's up? How are you?
I don't even want to know what Yasmine Bleeth photos are out there. I need to work the rest of the day, so whatever
good.
That is.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. See, they almost got me. I almost got hooked. I almost said you can't unsee what you've seen, but I'm not going to say that, and I just don't care. It's neither here nor there. You're right. You're fine. All right, so that's not one of the big topics, but there are two big topics I want to hit you with today. That's not one of them. Potential expansion of the regular season and postseason and Greg Robinson. Now, normally I would start with the expansion of the regular season and the playoffs, but as somebody who has been around this league for a long, long time, what is your reaction when you hear that Robinson was detained in Texas with allegedly 157 pounds of marijuana in his SUV?
Just a smidge of weed,
right?
In his SUV. We're still not to, you know, some of the levels that I think we've seen in the past. I mean, there are some former Dallas Cowboys that I think were nabbed with actually twice or triple that amount. Yeah, that does not appear to be a recreational amount of marijuana, but, you know, hey, some people like to have a stash that's never going to run out. That's not a great look for Greg Robinson. You know, this is a guy that over the expanse of his NFL career, I think the number one thing, the number one complaint I probably heard more often than not in all of his stops starting with the Rams was, you know, you tell him something 20 times and it just doesn't sink in. Concentration's a problem. Well, you know, now maybe we can understand why concentration might have been a problem for Greg Robinson.
Charles Robinson joining us. Well said. So when we talk about a 17-game season, of course, it's about the money. How much money, though? How much money are we possibly talking about for a 17-game season and an expanded postseason?
Well, so the way it was put to me going back to last offseason was that every one game that was added to the schedule would ultimately, once it was seen to fruition, represent about $1 billion for NFL players in the system for NFL players. Now, you know, spread over 32 teams, that's not a ton of money when you consider – you know, how that ultimately gets divided up, particularly if, you know, you're talking about roster expansion, things of that nature. And I remember I talked to Malcolm Jenkins about this last summer, and, you know, we were standing in the locker room. He said, man, look around. He said, look around this locker room. How many guys in this room are going to see that added money? He said, it's not going to be a lot of these guys. It's going to end up being the upper tier guys, top two or three stars are going to be the guys who soak up whatever additional money is put in the system. And that's why Malcolm Jenkins, when we talked about it, he felt like an expansion of the regular season was unlikely. But look, from what I understand, we're talking about minimum salaries being raised here. We're talking about, you know, additional roster spots, which is more jobs for players, which by and large, once you get past the stars, most guys are going to be in favor of an extra game check. Most guys are going to be in favor of extra jobs out there that keep them in the NFL longer. And I know a lot of players are complaining about, you know, or well, at least you're hearing some players complain about the extra game. Two things to keep in mind. Number one, if you want leverage, you argue most vehemently against the thing your opponent wants. The NFL owners want the 17th game more than anything, so players build leverage by coming out and complaining that it goes against player safety. And then number two, what are we talking about here? The average NFL lifespan, you know, careers last 3, 4, 5 years. That's 3, 4, 5 total games in the career of most NFL players. The guys who are going to see the most games added are the guys who last 10, 12, 14 years. And most of those NFL players who last that long rarely ever play full 16-game seasons every single year, year in, year out. So I think there's a lot of complaining about this that really isn't going to amount to much once this finally gets passed. And when we're in the midst of a 17-game season, I just don't see a lot of people complaining about it.
Talking to Charles Robinson, who laid that all out. You know, I was going to ask you, and I thought maybe I will anyway, what about that issue of safety? And I know you addressed it, but Richard Sherman's made the point that the league says it's all about player health, but then pushes for that 17th regular season game. He feels like it's hypocritical. Do you think it is?
I don't think it's hypocritical when you consider it's a balance. The league is trying to strike a balance here. Okay, the product, it's making a ton of money. It's pushing for this $25 billion you know, annual revenue target down the line. And look, they're legislating more and more hits out of the game, right? More and more violence is getting legislated out of the game. Well, there are a lot of players that are hypocritical who sit there and talk about you can't hit anyone anymore, you can't do this, you can't do that, which essentially is an argument for violence. But then they turn around and say, oh, geez, now they want an extra game. How could we have an extra game? That's so against player safety. No, there's a balance that's trying to be struck here. The NFL is not trying to remove all violence out of football, but at the same time, they're trying to elongate careers, make the product more exciting on the field, and make more money. Well, you got to give something up to gain something. And, you know, I understand that adding an extra game to these careers, it's not great. It does, you know, elongate the season for some people, but that's one extra week of work. And then strike it against, if there's less off-season work, less wear and tear on these players, which they want, that's a step in favor of elongating careers. There's just less grind in the off-season. You have more time to recuperate in the off-season. If you're not canceling careers because of weed, and you may even allow therapeutic use exemptions in states where it's legal for weed to be used for medicinal purposes, that's another thing that's tilting in favor of the health and safety of players. There are changes being made. I think they're just striking a balance here. And look, from the league standpoint, I'm not going to ignore that this is good for the league. I think one thing that's remarkable about this for the NFL, if you add one extra game to the regular season and you take away that number two seed, taking away that number two seed means two extra playoff games, one extra regular season game means you literally just created out of thin air a 33rd NFL franchise because you've replicated 16 more regular season games. Two more regular season games. Every single year, you're going to have a 33rd NFL franchise in the aggregate playing a full NFL season and two playoff games. Pretty remarkable.
It is. Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so before you go, I know that you're already doing your homework for the buildup to the combine. Let me ask you about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Can you see a scenario in which he forces his way out of Cincinnati?
I think it's going to depend on who else maybe below Cincinnati wants Joe Burrow. Now, look, Cincinnati, the goal right now is Joe Burrow. That's who they want. They're sitting there. They're staring at Joe Burrow. They're like, we want to take Joe Burrow at number one overall. Well, once the process gets started, they're going to hear offers. I'd be stunned if Cincinnati wasn't willing to pick up the phone and listen if, hey, the Miami Dolphins want to place that call. Hey, if the Carolina Panthers want to call about Joe Burrow and moving up to number one. I think the key here for Cincinnati, whether or not they'd ever move out of that number one spot, it's going to depend on the other quarterbacks. What is, you know, Tua Tagovailoa's medical report going to look like? What is Jordan Love going to look like when he starts to light up these workouts and people start to talk about, you know, could this potentially be, you know, a slightly rougher Pat Mahomes? You know, what's it going to look like when, you know, you get Justin Herbert stacking up another great, you know, phase of the offseason the way he did with the Senior Bowl? I think if Cincinnati's sitting there and they go, look, we really like Jordan, we really like Joe Burrow, but all of a sudden we see a couple other quarterbacks that we think are maybe a little closer in the evaluation than we initially thought. If someone's willing to offer us a boatload of picks and move up and we can still get a quarterback who's pretty darn close to what we want in Joe Burrow and also get all these additional picks, I think maybe that conversation becomes a little more interesting.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so really quickly, what about Tua, who you mentioned? Last year at this time, the thinking was Tua would have been the first pick in the draft. What's your sense as to how teams view him and his medical situation?
Tua's uneven. His evaluation, I mean, early in the process right now, and again, we're not going to see him on the field really until, I guess, April. It's really uneven when you talk to teams that are starting to look at him. Number one, he's always playing in a clean pocket most of the time. He's throwing in windows that are wide open. He's not throwing in a ton of tight windows. So his film has been difficult for a lot of teams to really sit there and get a grade on it where they feel great about it because of the surrounding pieces around him, because of the fact that he has played in so many clean situations with Alabama. And then, there's some realities about Tua. He hasn't always played his best football in big games. He's not Deshaun Watson, where every time he flipped on, you know, a big game with Clemson, Deshaun Watson was destroying an opponent or just completely disassembling, you know, a defense with NFL-caliber players on it. So that's a whole other component beyond just the medical that I think is going to be really tough for teams with Tua. And I'm just telling you, in the early going right now, I'm not hearing that he's a slam dunk as the second quarterback off the board in this draft. And a lot of people are saying, well, geez, Detroit's going to take him at three. Let's wait and see. I'm telling you, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, those are two guys that in this process I think can really make some noise and potentially elevate themselves to the number two quarterback off the board.
Charles, last thought. What about Herbert? There's been a rap on him in the past that he's kind of an introvert. When you talk to teams and you talk to evaluators, what kind of things do you hear about him as a leader and a personality?
I think what's interesting to me is I heard this going all the way to the Manning Passing Academy last summer, and I had a chance to spend some time with him there, and I was like, I don't get it. Like, he seems social. You know, he's somewhat quiet, but I didn't see this sort of, oh, there's sort of a weird personality or he's an introvert. I was like, nah, I just didn't see that. I mean, he's not a full-blown extrovert, but he didn't come off as weird or anything like that. And I think a lot of teams have sort of heard that in the evaluation process. How's he going to deal with, you know, his teammates? Is he too introverted? What's going to happen when the spotlight's on him? What was interesting to me was when he went to the Senior Bowl, it was clear teams asked the Senior Bowl staff to kind of put him in positions where he would have to interact with a ton of teammates and a wide variety of different personalities and guys on his team. And then also in some of the community events, be thrust in that spotlight and deal with sort of the forward-facing public sort of situation he would have to deal with if he was the number one draft pick of or a first-round pick of an NFL franchise. And what I heard was during Senior Bowl week, he actually passed that with flying colors. He was not weird at all. Like, he was very good in the spotlight. He handled all the community events really well. And the thing that really stuck out to me, I heard any of his teammates, no matter what background they came from, ethnicity, it didn't matter. The full cross-section, they all really enjoyed interacting with him. He talked to all these guys. It just, I think he came out of the Senior Bowl event where people were like, this whole knock on him sort of being this introvert is not necessarily accurate.
He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. And as I mentioned at the top, good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, thank you so much. Always appreciate you and the conversation.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Rome.
Good job, man. Good talking to you, as always. 1-800-636-8686. Get yourself set up. Get in the rotation. What do you want to hit on? When we come back, we talk more about the upcoming draft. NFL draft prospect Kelly Bryant, quarterback from Missouri, joins us. Then we are open until the middle of hour three when we talk to Nashville Predators defenseman Roman Josi. And lots to get to in and around all of that. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, hour number two, coming up next.